Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the anointed voices that were obedient to you and allowed you to use them this morning. We thank you for that word that reminded us of how amazing and how awesome you are. We thank you, Lord, that when we look into the stars and we see the mighty things that happen in the sky, we see eclipses and we see different things happen in the heavenlies. We thank you that they're all there by the word of your power. We thank you that from the deepest depths to the highest heights, Lord God, no matter where we go, you are there. And so, Lord, right now, as we come before you to study your word and to hear your word, we ask that you, by that tremendous power, would bring us revelation. Allow us the ability to just get a glimpse of the truth that you have, that eternal word that abides and lives forever. Give us today just the ability to grasp enough for today. Give us that daily bread today. And Lord, as we ask you for the revelation, we ask that you'd also give us both courage and wisdom to stand on your word and to do what you have said, to obey you in every moment. And Lord, as we do, we thank you that you will show yourself to be more than amazing. Hallelujah. We thank you for your word changing us, transforming us, making us whole, healing us, delivering us, setting us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, sometimes you can stay in the place of prayer or the presence of the Lord all day if you just enter that place. And so we're talking about going, and our series is about going. And when we talk about going, we're talking about what God has spoken in the book of Matthew, chapter 28. And let's go there and read that passage of scripture. And I want to address a reality of obedience. We're going to start at verse 16. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them." Tell your neighbors that there's a mountain appointed for you. Verse 17, "And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Some worship and some doubt." Verse 18, "Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" So Jesus gives his disciples this last word before he ascends. And he gives them a command that they should go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Make disciples of every nation." This passage has three concepts in it that challenge us personally. And so when you say the word evangelism, several things come to people's minds. Number one, probably most frequent thing that I've heard over the years of ministry that I've been exposed to talking about this type of thing, the number one thing you hear is, "Oh, I'm not an evangelist." Number one thing, "Oh, I'm not an evangelist." But interesting thing is, Jesus did not say go to anyone who was an evangelist. See, his disciples were disciples. They hadn't attained offices yet. They were all just disciples. There were no evangelists. It didn't exist. So he didn't say, go to evangelists. And we've made the office of the evangelist what we understand evangelism to be, when the office didn't arise until after God's strategy was being implemented. In other words, what God does is this is what God does. God never says, I'm going to make you something and then tell you what to do. He tells you what to do and it makes you something when you obey. Amen? He tells us what to do, and when we obey, people say, oh, that's a So years ago when I was overseeing ministers training at our former church, this person came to me and they said, Elder Derry, I believe that God has called me to be an apostle to the nations. What do you think? And I said, praise the Lord. If you believe God told you to be an apostle to the nations, then I believe it too. But now, you need to get into class 101. Because you can't receive a label from heaven and then just step into it and think you're there. Because you might go out there, but you will find out what the children of Israel found out. They had just left Egypt, not just, but they had left Egypt. They had wandered in the wilderness. God brought them into the promised land. They began going into the promised land and taking land. And they would go out to war and they would win wars over and over again. And then one day they decided that they didn't have to obey God. And somebody, when God told them to go into this place, take over, but don't take any of the stuff. Leave the stuff there. Don't take it. You don't need it. Somebody decided they were going to take it anyway. And they disobeyed God. Their disobedience rippled through, and the next war they went out to, they lost. And they went crying, Lord, why did we lose? He said, because there's sin in the camp. Somebody did something that shouldn't be done. And because it's there, there's a ripple there. That doesn't change how awesome God is. It just reveals to us the reality that while God is for us, we can't let ourselves be against ourselves. We can't let our things or our behaviors or other things get in the way of what God is trying to do in our lives. So we are in the position to look and answer some questions about our gospel, about being evangelistic, about taking roles in the body of Christ, about fulfilling the work that God has given us to do. But the first thing is we have to settle on the fact that evangelism is not the work of the evangelist. The evangelist is known because they produced evangelistic fruit. You understand what I'm saying? So the first question that we have to ask ourselves when we look at this passage is, Jesus says, all authority is given to me. He's got all authority. First question we have to ask is, what authority do you have? Who are you to go and preach the good news to the world? Because that's what the enemy comes to do. He comes to persuade you that your identity is not such that you should be preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. I want you to look at something really quickly. Go over to Luke chapter 4, and we were there with a couple of days last week, and I want you to go back there again. Take a look at Luke chapter 4. This is the tempting of Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus was filled by the Holy Spirit. When he was baptized, he returned from the Jordan in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. When he's in the wilderness, he is encountered by Satan. 40 days, he's hungry. And in verse 5, he says, or the passage says, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give to you and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomsoever I wish. So first thing here is, Satan, at the time that Jesus is walking the earth, Satan has authority over all the kingdoms of the world. Now, we're talking about spiritual authority. So Satan had spiritual authority over all the kingdoms of the world. In other words, he could identify and control things spiritually in every domain, in every region, in every place. He had that authority, and nothing could challenge him because he had authority. It's been given to me. Now he says it to Jesus, and Jesus does not dispute it. Go to the book of John, chapter 18. The book of John, chapter 18. So Satan has told Jesus, listen, I can give authority to whoever I want to give it to. And if you will bow down and worship me, I'll give it to you. Now we know that Jesus did not. We're going to John chapter 18, verse 36. Now, in this case, Jesus has been betrayed. He's been taken to trial, and he's standing before Pontius Pilate, the governor. And so in front of Pontius Pilate, the governor, here's what Jesus says. When asked the question, are you a king? Jesus answered, my kingdom is what? Not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But when? Now, my kingdom is not from here. All right, I want you to start putting this together. Number one, Satan says, I have control. Number two, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Satan says, I have control of all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus says, my kingdom is not even of this world. So it's true that Satan had dominion over all kingdoms. It is true that Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. But Matthew 28, where we're studying, shines a different light. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now, in front of Pontius Pilate, he said, now my kingdom is not from here. But in Matthew 28, after he's been crucified and he's been resurrected and come back, he said, now all authority has been given to me. When did he get the authority? When did it change? See, resurrection. Resurrection is when it changes. Resurrection is the place where kingdoms change hands. Resurrection is the position in which there is a moving, a shifting of authority from that which is natural to that which is spiritual. And if you, as a believer, recognize when resurrection takes place, and that resurrection is not only what happens to Jesus, resurrection is what happens to every believer when you say yes to God. See, I was an old person. I had a life. I had a way of doing things. I had a way of seeing the world. I had a way of operating that was all one way until I said yes to God. Now, there's layers of saying yes. One layer of saying yes is to have what we call mental assent. In other words, I believe in the concept, but I'm not giving my heart. I believe, but I'm not ready to move in faith. Then there's a level of I believe, I want to move in faith, but I'm concerned, so I'm going to put one foot in and keep one foot out just in case. Then there's a level of I believe and I'm all in. Now, once you go all in, that's where Jesus went into the wilderness. See, that's when you get driven into the wilderness to face the adversary. And so when you say yes to God, the first thing everybody, every believer has to know, when you say yes to God, there will be a time of tempting to find out whether you are really saying yes and both feet are in, or one foot is in and one foot is out. Because if one foot is in and one foot is out, when things get difficult, you will back out. If one foot is in and one foot is out, when challenging times come, when temptation comes, when things don't go the way you expect, then you will come out. So Jesus was all in. And when he was all in and Satan tempted him, he said, look, you just might as well get behind me. Because I'm not bowing down to you. I'm not listening to your stories. I'm not listening to your painting of the picture. I'm not having any of that. I'm going to follow God and him alone. Him alone. Now, when Jesus, let's say it this way. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, so you go. All authority is given to me, so you go. Now, turn to the book of Luke chapter 9 really quick. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. We're going to go 1 through 5. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority. Say power and authority. Over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Wherever house you go to, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out from that city, shake the very dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Now, this passage has been so misused by so many people. Because we get mad at somebody, we say, I'm just shaking the dust off of you. It's not what this passage says. It says that if you're going to preach the good news and somebody won't hear that, then you shake the dust off. It don't say shake the dust off because you don't like them. Oh, I keep it real. I shake the dust off on you. No, shake the dust off. We got to stay here. Amen? Listen, important things here. Number one principle, whenever Jesus sends you out, he always sends you out with both power and authority. I'm going to say it again. Whenever Jesus sends you out, he sends you out with both power and authority. See, here's what's important to understand. The command to the church is to go. The command to the church is to go. The command to the church is to go. And when you go, you have to go in faith. Go in faith knowing that God has equipped you, that he will not tell you to go unless he has given you both power and authority. That's why it's important for him to display Satan had authority. Then it's important for him to say, I didn't have the authority. Then it's important to say, when I died and I rose again, I have all authority. It's been given to me. And now because I have it, I'm giving you power and authority to go. See, this is why you need to understand this, because the world wants you to shut your mouth. The world wants you to shut up talking about Jesus. The world wants you to shut up talking about sin. The world wants you to shut up talking about going to hell. The world wants you to be quiet. And we shut up because we don't know that we have authority. We get quiet because we need to be politically correct. We get silent because we're afraid of what might happen. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to get persecuted. That's what's going to happen. People not going to like you. That's what's going to happen. But you got to know and believe that all authority is given to you. That you've been given the power to disconnect from the world system. Now, somebody shared something with me. I'll tell you, it was Carl. Carl sent me a picture of being pampered yesterday. I won't tell y'all how he was getting pampered, but he sent me this picture of getting pampered. But he was getting pampered at no cost. And why was he being pampered at no cost? At some place where everybody sitting around him was probably paying to be pampered. Because he was operating in something that is a kingdom system. He was operating in God's system, and because he was operating God's system, it didn't require money to do certain things. This is one of the things in the book of Isaiah, this is what God says. He said, come and buy, come and get food and drink and buy with no money. Huh? In other words, I have a system in which I can distribute things, I can move things, I can do things. I have a system that works. It doesn't require man's creation, which is money. See, here's what we're trained. We're trained to think about ourselves according to our possessions. We're trained to think about and value ourselves based on what we have. We're brainwashed. We have our mind set on a worldly system that we have to use because we're in the earth, but we've allowed it to go past what it is, and we've allowed it to become part of our identity. And so we now have many times equated ourselves by our finances or by resources. And sometimes we put our obedience to God in the pocket of what our money says. Sometimes our status and how we view ourselves does not come from the book. It comes from where we fall in a structure. In a social structure, or in a job structure, or in a neighborhood structure, or some other way, we judge ourselves by those things. And because we judge ourselves that way, when God says go, sometimes we answer those things rather than answer God. So sometimes we find ourselves sitting in environments where we don't want to speak to certain people because of the human barriers that have been set there. We won't talk to somebody because of their culture. We won't talk to somebody because of their status. We won't talk to somebody and give them the gospel because they don't want to hear that. And we start making the determination on who we can and who we can't talk to, who we can preach to and who we can't preach to, based on these invisible lies that the devil has already spoken. But it all gets to the question is, where does your authority come from? If my authority came from my money, then yes, I can do certain things. If my authority came from my position, then yes, there's certain things I can do. But what if neither my position or my money is my source of authority? What does that change? What does that change as far as how I do what I do as unto the Lord? Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. 4:17. If you get this particular passage in your heart, it will rob you of every excuse you've ever made about walking in the things of God. Listen to this passage. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have what? Boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are where? In this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Where do you get your identity from? Where do you get your identity from? So you get your identity from him. And if you get your identity from him, then there's certain things about you that the world has revealed that don't make a difference. They don't make a difference anymore. I hope y'all with me. Lord Jesus, I'm going to try to stick to the program. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Here's who you are. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm not telling you anything new, but I'm telling you that as I live, I behold something. What I behold is I behold that the enemy is working on a lot of people to get us focused on the wrong things. The enemy's working on us to try to get us focused on the wrong things. Now, God is going to give us some things. God is going to move us in some directions. But in order to go in the directions that God has called us to go, we have to make sure we're anchored on the right things. We have to be anchored on the right things in order to go there. So look at this passage. We know this, but I want to read this whole a little bit longer than we're used to reading here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in what? In Christ, he's what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look new to me. Old things have passed away. Old things are gone. If any man is in Christ, then who you were yesterday no longer exists. Who you were the day before, it no longer exists. That's not who you are. Your identity is now found in him. In Christ is where we get our identity from. Next verse. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. You've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. You have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Not later, right now. You have already been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. You have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. You are a new creation. You have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. There's no anger between God and you. God is not pronouncing a curse on you to fix you. God is not pronouncing a curse on you and putting you in a bad situation to get you to learn something. That is not what God is doing. You do have an adversary who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but God is not the one putting you in position to teach you. God's given his word to teach us. His word gives us understanding. He gives us warning. His word shows us how to avoid certain things. Now, trials are going to come. Trials are going to come. There's going to be attack against you. Jesus is the God of all creation in a physical body. He walks into the wilderness and the devil comes to him. The devil's coming to you too. He's coming to you and he's not going to hit you at the point where you're strong. He's going to hit you where he thinks you're weak. He's going to hit you where you have vulnerability. He's going to hit you where you have sensitivity. He's going to hit you where you think you are still in control. That's where he's coming. He's coming right there. We play different sports. There's two strategies, offensive strategies. You can play to your strengths or you can play against the other one's weaknesses. Your opponent's weaknesses. There's only those two strategies. There is no other strategy. It's one of the two. You play to your strength or you play against their weaknesses. That's it. And if you understand that, then you understand how Satan works. He's either going to play to his strength, which is deception, or he's going to play against your weakness, which is whatever your weakness is. And no man knows the spirit of the man except the spirit's in him. I don't know what your weakness is. You know what it is. Sometimes we ignore it, but we know what it is. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, oh, Lord. All right, here we go. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Say, God has given you the ministry of reconciliation. And this is what it is. Verse 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Say, Jesus isn't imputing your trespasses against you. And neither am I. Ooh, man. See, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. First, God reconciled us to Christ. Then he gives us the ministry of reconciliation to bring others to Christ, to bring others to the Lord. But you can't bring others to the Lord when we're not dying to ourselves. My biggest hindrance to bringing some people to the Lord is me. My biggest hindrance to getting other people to see God is sometimes just me. Now, the me that needs to get out of the way is the me that won't die. The me that's still trying to survive the resurrection. The me that's still trying to survive the cross. The me that's still trying to survive dying to myself. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verse 1. Now remember, sin is not just behavior. Sin is the nature of sin. Sin is the nature that's in people. See, the behaviors are fruit of the nature that's in us. And so sometimes we're trying to treat the fruit, and the fruit keeps coming back. It keeps coming back because you're treating the fruit. You're not treating the core. You're not treating the foundation of what it is. And this is what he says here. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How should we who died to sin live any longer in it? Question is, have you died? Not physically. Have you died spiritually? Have you allowed yourself the ability to die spiritually? To die spiritually means to take the old you and some of the things you've been proud of, some of the things you've really felt good about, some things that made you who you are. Can you take those things and lay those things at the cross? See, if we really want to be able to fulfill the word, then we have to really start here. We have to start here. If we want the manifestation of the sons of God, we want to see a move of God, we want to see our church full, we want to see things happen, we want to see all these things, they can't happen till you first die. That's what Jesus said. He that seeks to save his life, he's going to lose it. He that seeks to lose his life for the gospel's sake, he will have that and he'll have the kingdom. First thing, you've got to die. You have to die. What do I mean by you have to die? It means some things that we want, we have to let go of. Verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? You can't access the resurrection without dying. You can't have the new life living the old life. The old man and the new man can't live in the same body. There has to be a transformation. There has to be a day of change. Now, does that mean you have to wake up and be perfect tomorrow? No, but it does mean that the heart has to be committed to saying, today's a new day. Today I'm a new creation. And whatever that means today is what it's going to be today. Amen? Verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. There's a newness of life available to us. There is a newness of life available. Verse 5, for if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And remember, sin is not just behavior. Sin is the nature that chooses me before God. Sin is the nature that chooses my way before God's way. Sin is the nature that holds on to fig leaves rather than receive God's covering. Sin is what holds us into putting up nice, happy faces to each other when we're really not that way on the inside. Sin is what causes us to hide when we hear the voice of God rather than come forward into the voice of God. The manifestations of sin are just that. But the nature, the root, is what actually causes us to do differently. So what he's saying here is that we have the opportunity in him to get real about this and bury it once and for all. Put the old man in the ground. Reckon him to be dead. And every time he tries to stand up, we say, no, by the blood of Jesus, you are dead. I used to bottle things up and get angry. And then I'd blow up. I finally had to say, you know what? I gotta lay him down. I gotta lay that man down. I gotta lay him down because he doesn't have a right to live here. He doesn't have the right to live here anymore. When you lay him down and you start to walk in the newness of life, you will become an evangelist. I want you to listen to me close. When you lay the old man down and he's down and you start walking in the newness of life, everybody around you, everybody in Jerusalem will see you and they'll know something changed. Everybody that lives in Jerusalem, where's Jerusalem? We talked about last week, Jerusalem's where you live. When the new man raises up, you won't have to tell people what happened. They will ask you what happened. The friends I used to run around with, when I gave my life to the Lord, we were in the car together, and one of them said, he said, man, what happened to you? What happened to you? I said, man, I gave my life to the Lord. Okay, but what happened to you? Okay, you started going to church, but what happened? Because this ain't going to church. Something else just happened here. Something changed. And you know what changed? The old man died. He died in an apartment building in Sacramento on October 18th, 1986. He died. That night, he died. He's gone. He's dead. He's out of here. I changed. And I changed because I just said, Father, I'm all in. I'm all in. Whatever it means, I'm all in. And immediately, God started to work things in my favor. Immediately, God began to change. Immediately. And then all of a sudden, I had people call me, hey, what happened to you? I was talking to so-and-so. They said, "You, what happened?" Why? Because I changed. I changed. Look at the rest of this. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Let me tell you something. If you have something in your life that's plaguing you, that's following you, that keeps on coming back, it keeps on taking you off track, and it keeps on derailing you, and it keeps on getting in the way. If something in your life keeps on doing things over and over again to you, you're still alive. You got to die to it. Only way to kill it is to die to it. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died once for all. But the life that he lives to God. When you die to yourself, you start to live for God. The only fight you have to fight is the fight of faith. If you reckon yourself dead to sin, then you don't have to fight stuff anymore. I'm not trying to fight my anger anymore. Because by faith, I'm operating in a new way. By faith, I'm operating in a new way. I'm not fighting depression. I'm not going to fight it. When I feel myself going there, I say, nope. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy of the Lord is my strength. Yes. Let me, whatever's trying to take me down right now, let me die to that thing. Let me die to whatever that thing is, so when I die to it, then I can embrace the life of God and I can walk out in the newness of life. Because that's what Satan does. He comes to persuade you to fall, to lay it down, to not engage him, to not enter resurrection power. Jesus, if you take this authority now that I want to give you, you don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to die. You don't have to die. Take this authority. What's that authority? In my case, the authority of anger is getting mad about everything that I don't like, which was my behavior. Whatever gets me, have my reaction, whatever. And then, what have I done? I haven't operated in faith. I haven't heard whatever news comes at me and process it through faith. Instead, I process it through my own way. Because why? I'm still alive. So I got to kill me and let the life of God operate through me. Go to Romans 8, 19. You know the passage. If you will die so that Christ can live in you, then this is what's going to happen. Verse 19, Romans chapter 8. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Notice it doesn't say for the sons of God to come to their neighborhood. It doesn't say for something to happen. It doesn't say any of that. Creation is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God, for them to be revealed. How are they revealed? The same way Jesus was revealed to his disciples. He said, flesh and blood didn't show you this, but it's the Holy Spirit. See, all of creation is waiting for a group of people to arise that are not ruled by the system of the world. The world is waiting for a group of people to arise that will engage them with the power of God. Not the power that we don't know about, but the power of the resurrection of what God has done in your life. See, it's your testimony of laying your life down. It's your testimony of becoming a new creation. That is the message that we go to the world with. Where do we go? We know we talked last week. You know where to go. You go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the end of the earth. That means where you are, around you, and then to people who are not like you, then the rest of the world. That's who you go. That's where you go. What do you go with? You go with this understanding that I have been given authority by God to new minister reconciliation to you, just like God has reconciled me. And the pathway to reconciliation is not to live bigger. The pathway to reconciliation is to lay down your life. People don't want to hear that. Why? Because they're trying to be bigger. Went to this event, and we observed these people trying to live big in this particular area that represents sin. And they're trying to live bigger than ever. Let's appreciate how wrong we are. But they're not saying they're wrong. They're just saying, let's embrace what we are. That's fine. But that's all you can be. See, humanity follows the same way. There are ways that seem right to a man, but the end always leads to destruction. But God is trying to offer us the newness of life. God is trying to offer us eternal life that begins in the moment, that will allow you to live more abundantly. Not abundant stuff, abundant life. A life that has quality. A life that means something. A life that has significance. A life that is purposeful, a life that has God driving and makes, even if I sweep the floor, it's got God's eternal purpose behind it. Why? Because I'm blessed in the life of God. I have the strength of God because I laid my life down. My importance is not found in what I'm doing. It's that I'm doing it as unto the Lord. That's where my importance comes from. My value comes from what I do as unto him because I've given him my life. I found myself at work starting to get back into me. I had to say, no, I gotta die. I'm starting to do my work. I'm getting loaded on my own stuff. Lay it down. Put it back in the right perspective. Put it back to God. I'm doing this as unto the Lord. I'm not doing this for me. I'm not doing it for me. I'm not doing it for my check. I'm not doing it for other people. I'm doing what I do as unto the Lord. I'm his possession, his property. And immediately, the significance came back. Because if you do as unto you, you're going to run out. Last thing I want to leave you with this question. What do you need to die to today? you need to die to today? You need to think about what you need to die to. I have a simple goal. The world is waiting for us to be revealed. I have a simple goal. I want the world to experience the gospel. I want the world to experience the good news of Jesus Christ. I don't want the world to experience church. I don't want the world to experience good stuff we do. I want the world to experience God. I want the world to see God. I want the world to see him. I want him to be revealed. I want the sons of God to be revealed. I want you to be revealed to the world. I want the power that God has put in you. I want your eternal purpose to be revealed. I don't want you to just go to work, get a check so you can tithe to the church. No, I want you to go and do what God has called you to do so that your world can be changed, your family can be changed, so that your neighborhood can be changed, so the people around you are transformed by the renewing of their mind because they've seen something different than they've ever seen before. A church without spot or wrinkle. What is that? Not just a church that doesn't do all things the world does, but a church that really is not spotted or wrinkled, because spots and wrinkles can't stay on something that belongs to God. Not that we're going to be famous, not that we're going to be any. No, that we know him and his resurrection power, the fellowship of his suffering, that we understand God, that we see him for who he is. And that we're seen because we're in him. I want to stop, but I feel like y'all don't hear me. I feel like y'all don't hear me. I'm saying that forget church. Forget church. Forget the routine of church. Forget that. I'm saying get in God's word. Get the word in your heart. Get the word in your spirit and allow God to change us. Allow God to move. Let God be free. Let God do something different. It is way too easy to become religious just like everybody else. No condemnation on anybody. It's so easy to become religious. It's so easy to start getting proud of ourselves. It's so easy for things to go off track because we start to believe ourselves and stop believing that it's only him. It is him and him alone. It is Christ and Christ alone. It is him alone. It is him. That's why that song today was so powerful. We're worshiping him. He's more than amazing. He's more than wonderful. That's what he is to me. He's more. He's more than just church. He's more than religion. He's more than foolishness. He's more than that. He is the living God, the almighty God. He is the great and mighty. He's the I am. He's the indescribable. He is God and God alone. And he has said, I will send you in my power. I will send you in my power. The power of the Lord. The power of the Lord to be revealed in us. But it will not come if we're willing to settle. It will not come if we're willing to allow certain things to exist in us. We have to be so transparent that it is the word as the final authority on every single thing in our lives, that the word is the truth. The word is the light. The word is whatever it needs. Whatever the word says is what I will do. We have to become that kind of people. We have to become that kind of person, because the world and the darkness in it is going to get stronger and stronger if the church gets weaker and weaker. Because the only thing sent in the earth to handle the devil is the church. And if the church is weak, then Satan will rise, because that's what God says. He says, where grace abounds, or where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Now, that's not when sin is there, then all of a sudden everybody who just gets the grace of God. Grace is the active reception of us, of the goodness and the favor of the Lord, and empowering us to step above darkness. We're in a season where people are getting murdered for no reason. We're in a season where people kill each other for nothing. We're in a season where the hearts of man have grown desperately wicked. And if the church does not get serious about the word of God, serious about becoming something in God, serious about manifesting his power, then you know what? Darkness will reign. I have no interest in darkness reigning wherever I am. But the word says this, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. The light that God has put in your heart, the light that God has put in your mind, let it so shine. And we will see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. I'm telling you, I don't know what happened today, but I'm telling you right now, I'd have no interest whatsoever. I have no interest in anything but this word. I'm telling you, I want people to grasp this. I want you to grasp this. Can't play church. We can't just do. We can't go through the motions. We gotta put ourselves into it. We gotta worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We have to operate in the fullness of what God has given us. We gotta change. We have to be changed, transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have to. It is not the season to go halfway. This is the season to go all the way. This is the season to go all the way. And go all the way knowing that something's going to push back against you. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. That's it. That's all I got. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you. Inspire your people to work in your word. Inspire your people. Call your people to your word this week. Call your people to bring the word into their hearts, into their mind. Inspire your people right now. Inspire your people, Lord. Speak to your people by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your spirit reigning and touching us all right now. Move us to the place of action. Move us to the place of hearing your voice. Move us to the place of moving in tandem with you, that we might see you do great and mighty things. Thank you for giving us wisdom to show what